Emotional clutter and letting go. When you start decluttering, you do it with the best of intentions. But as you try to decide what to keep and what to let go of, you begin to feel emotions that make you feel uncomfortable. Soon you're frustrated, tired, and overwhelmed. Even when you manage to clear up the clutter, it often creeps back into your life again. This is what happens when you approach the decluttering process from the outside in, dealing with your physical clutter, but not really allowing yourself to go to the root cause, to the mental and the emotional clutter. We often hear that our physical environment is a reflection of our inner state. It reflects our cluttered thinking and emotions. And that's why the soul space journey approaches the process from the inside out as well. Part of the challenge of decluttering is that we keep running up against our emotions. We all have emotional baggage. The things we own have memories and associations that are both good and bad. We hold on to objects that have sentimental associations that remind us of people and experiences in our past. Photographs of family vacations, former lovers, pictures of our children when they were young, souvenirs from trips, all that sort of thing. We also hold on to objects that carry more complex memories and trigger different emotions. These emotions are often hard to deal with. Guilt, fear, distress, anger, hatred, shame, blame, worry, overwhelm, confusion, indecision. They're all emotions that can be triggered by our clutter. Many of us turn these emotions into baggage from the past that we drag around with us because either we refuse to let them go or we suppress them because we often can't bear to feel the emotions and the memories they trigger. We ignore the signals that our emotions are sending us to deal with issues in our lives that are keeping us stuck. And we often stuff our emotions down and don't allow ourselves to feel, express, and explore them. Oftentimes we avoid them altogether. How do we let go of some of the excess baggage that we carry around with us? Our collection of physical and emotional clutter can make us feel as though we're going through life dragging a suitcase that's filled with bricks. It really is time to drop the tremendous weight and learn how to live in the freedom that letting go creates. So what are you having a hard time letting go of? When you avoid making decisions and just don't deal with your clutter, ironically, you experience the very emotions that you're avoiding by not dealing with your clutter. How many of you feel guilt, worry, shame, sadness, fear, frustration, anger, shame and blame about your clutter? Exactly. And how many of those negative emotions are directed at yourself because you're not dealing with it? Talk about a vicious cycle. Let's face it, as a society, we don't talk much about emotions. Our conversations tend to focus on what we're doing and what we're thinking. We talk about what we think far more often than how we actually feel. In fact, we hold on to our stuff as a way of protecting ourselves from the emotions that make us feel uncomfortable. Let's look at the neuroscience of why it's so hard to make decisions when you're decluttering. What happens to our brains? We've established that it's because of emotions that we're avoiding or are unaware of. Whenever we feel pressured to make decisions, we experience stress. So what happens to your brain and your ability to make decisions when you're stressed out? The area of the brain where decision-making and control of the emotions occur is called the prefrontal lobe, or the rational brain. A stress reaction in the body will cause a release of the stress hormones, chemicals such as adrenaline and cortisol from the adrenal glands, as the body prepares for a fight-or-flight response. And this response serves as a protective mechanism against perceived danger. And when this happens, the activity in the prefrontal lobe shuts off almost as if it had been short-circuited. At this point, the limbic system, which is also known as the reptilian brain, takes over. And now, you can't think straight, and your emotions start running amok. You either make poor decisions, or you completely avoid them altogether. So what do you do?
I'm going to give you a four-step process that you can use
when you're dealing with the eight major challenges that people have in dealing with their clutter. Here are the eight challenges most people run into. Clutter challenge number one, letting go of things with sentimental attachment. Clutter challenge number two, letting go of gifts from friends or family. Clutter challenge number three, things that you don't use. Clutter challenge number four, letting go of a former identity. Clutter challenge number five, incompletions. Clutter challenge number six, other people's stuff. Clutter challenge number seven, I need to keep it just in case. Clutter challenge number eight, giving or throwing it away is wasteful. Here is the four-step process you can use to help you let go as you face these challenges. Step number one is to get clear on the challenge. Which of the eight challenges is it? Step number two is to be aware. Take the item and take a good look at it. Touch it and feel it. Take a deep breath and allow yourself to become aware of any emotions that you feel. Ask yourself, how do I feel? And just be with the feeling. See how the object makes you feel. And give yourself some time. Tell yourself you don't have to make any decision right now. Feel your feelings. There are no shoulds, they're your feelings. Don't judge them, just allow yourself to feel them. Use your journal and explore them. You'll find that your emotions will talk to you. Ask them questions and become very interested in finding out what they have to tell you. Ask yourself, why am I feeling so sad or angry or resentful? Whatever the emotion is. Step number three is to ask yourself questions and evaluate yourself. Explore some of the possibilities. If I could do anything I wanted and not worry about anybody else, what would I do? Keep it or let it go? Do I love it? Does it spark joy, as Marie Kondo would say? If not, why am I holding on to it? Ask yourself, where are you judging yourself? Ask yourself, what is it you deserve to have in your life at this time? Step number four is to make a decision. When you're clear about what you feel and what makes you feel good and what your needs are right now in your life, make a decision about the item or the situation and take action. There is no right or wrong. What is important is honoring your feelings and your needs. If you aren't ready to let it go, set yourself a timeline and a deadline to see if you use it. And if you don't, reevaluate whether you really need to keep it. Get coaching. So you're clear why you're holding on and identify the limiting belief that is behind your decision. Take the time that you need. If you aren't ready to let it go, don't. Make a decision when you're ready and be compassionate with yourself. So now we'll look at some of the challenges and some of the key areas we find it hard to make decisions in because we're trapped by our emotions. Do you ever find yourself saying things about some of your possessions like, I can't give it away, it was a gift, or an inheritance? That's clutter challenge number one, letting go of things with sentimental attachment. And the emotions that clutter challenge number one brings up are guilt and fear, sadness, longing, nostalgia, happiness, joy. We hold on to items like photos and mementos and souvenirs, and we have conversations with ourselves about having to give them up. Well, first of all, you don't have to. No one is making you do anything. But the very fact that you have mental chatter about the item and are having should I or shouldn't I conversations about an item, that indicates that there's something you need to pay attention to. The question is, how is it making you feel? If you love it and it makes you feel good, keep it. But if you're feeling overwhelmed or that you have too much of the item, maybe it's time to prioritize. Do you really need 20 pictures of your children when they were toddlers? What about what they look like right now? Do you have pictures of them reflecting their lives and your relationship right now? Do you really need to keep all of your college trophies? Or could you put your most prized items on display and get rid of the others that you're keeping in a box? If you're keeping stuff tucked away in boxes and drawers and shelves and you rarely see and enjoy them, maybe you're not really attached to them. Prioritize. Make sure that everything that you keep is actually integrated into your life in the present. If you're hiding things away for months and years at a time, then they're simply weighing down that suitcase that you keep dragging around. I can't give it away. It was a gift. This is clutter challenge number 2, letting go of gifts from friends and family, and the emotions that one brings up are fear and worry and anxiety. Many of us have a hard time getting rid of a gift from friends or family, even though we don't like or use it. We worry about hurting their feelings should they find us out, so we hold on to it, even though we don't love it and it doesn't spark joy in us. The truth is, we're not so much worried about hurting their feelings, which makes us look really good. We are afraid of their disapproval or upset. And even if you are worried about their feelings, what about your own? Why are you placing their feelings above your own? And how often do your needs take second place to those of the people in your life? Separate the gift from the person who gave it to you. You can appreciate the thought behind the gift and the person who gave it to you for their generosity in thinking of you, while also acknowledging that the gift isn't to your taste and that it would be better used by someone else. Holding on to something that doesn't give you pleasure or make you feel good is telling yourself that your feelings and your needs don't matter. It's a self-worth issue. When will you deserve to have a home filled with things that you love that nourishes you? If not now, when? Mary inherited some antique furniture from her parents. It was dark, heavy furniture that she didn't like and it did not reflect her taste. In fact, it brought back oppressive memories of living in her parents' house and how unhappy and misunderstood she felt. But she still felt guilty about getting rid of it. So her living room was filled with all of this heavy furniture. An armoire, an antique cabinet, a chest of drawers, bookcases. But since she didn't like the items, she tended to fill them with clutter, with things that she never used, books and magazines that she never read, and she would continually have conversations with herself about how she planned to sort through them one of these days. Whenever she thought about getting rid of the furniture, however, she would hear the voice of her mother telling her how hard they worked to give her a nice home and how ungrateful she was. She would hear her father belittling her taste and her attempts to create her own space with things she liked and valued after she moved out of their home. Why do you waste your money on junk? You need to buy things that are a good investment, said her father. Her parents collected antiques and paintings not because they liked them, but because they believed that they would appreciate. So the furniture brought up all kinds of emotions, guilt and fear and shame, and some anger. Using the 4 steps, Mary became aware of how she felt about the stuff and what she was afraid of. She had to face her fear of other people's disapproval and the fact that she was often asking herself in her life, what would other people think? In this case, the disapproval was her parents, and they had already passed away. And yet, all of their conversations, all of their tapes were still playing in her head. As she let herself feel her feelings and look to see what feelings were buried under each layer of feeling, she was able to acknowledge that not only that she didn't like the stuff, it didn't make her feel good. In fact, it made her feel bad about herself. She replayed the tapes of her parents' conversations and was able to see that she was no longer the girl that she had been, trying desperately to win their approval. She was now a grown woman leading her own life. She knew what she liked, and she deserved to give it to herself. So she thanked her parents for making a good investment and trying to protect her future. Then she sold the antiques for several $1,000s, and she invested some of the money in new furniture. And then she put the rest in an IRA. And she would joke that her father would have approved of that. Mary created a lot of freedom and a burst of energy in her life, and she's never looked back since. Clutter challenge number 3, unused possessions. This is when you find yourself saying things like, it's still good. Maybe I'll use it down the line. And some of the underlying emotions to this one are shame and anger, sorrow and regret. It can be very hard to face the fact that you wasted money on something that you didn't really need and that you will never use it. But it's also liberating to be honest and acknowledge that to yourself. Just because you wasted money then doesn't mean that you have to keep doing it. The more unconscious you are about your behavior, the more you'll continue to repeat the same old patterns. You can now be conscious and make different decisions. Pay attention to impulse buys. And when you go shopping or you're out, instead of immediately buying something, let yourself go home and think about it overnight. Trust that if it's something that you're supposed to have, it'll be there for you in the morning. It's also important to give. When you hold something that you know you're never going to use because it's still good and maybe you'll use it down the line, first of all, you don't trust that down the line, if you need this item, you will have the ability to get another one because you will be abundant and you'll be able to buy it, or that you will be able to borrow one, or you will be able to manifest one, that the universe will take care of what you need when the time comes. But you're also withholding things from the universe. You're not sharing. You're not giving somebody else the opportunity to appreciate and use what you're not using. We live in a universe that has a law called the law of reciprocity. We give and we receive. And that's how we keep the flow going. When you hold back, when you block the energy because you won't let something go and you also won't use it, that energy prevents things from coming into your life. If you're not going to use it, give it away. Share it. The more you give and the more you share, the better you feel. If you're not going to use it, it's wonderful to find somebody who will use it. Sell it and give somebody the opportunity to get a deal because it's still good. Receive some money so you can use it on something that you want now. Or give it away. Sometimes it's such a wonderful thing when people give you things. So discover the pleasure that you can have in giving to others. And know that every time you give and you share, you are creating the flow, and the more you do so, the more you generate the flow of new things and opportunities to come into your life because you keep creating space. And nature abhors a vacuum. Kutta challenge number 4 is letting go of a former identity. Some of the emotions that come up around this are shame and fear and sadness and feelings of loss. As you explore the 4-step process, you will find that you have to face the fact that you're not the person you were, and that sometimes we hold on to an identity, like your 30-year-old self that was always a size 8 or 10, and now you're a size 12 or 14, and so you hold on to the clothes that you wore 4 or 5 years ago, and you haven't been able to wear them during that time, because your body has changed, and it isn't comfortable in a size 10. Maybe that will change, but right now, you're at a different weight. When you're willing to let go of that identity and allow somebody else to enjoy those clothes, you create the space for you to bring something new into your life. Maybe you will actually keep holding the weight as long as you don't allow yourself to appreciate and love yourself as you are right now. We do this a lot with clothes. We do it with different identities we've had, different careers we've had. People hold on to the job that they had in the past because it was very much part of their identity, the career that they had. And now it's 10 and 20 years later and they're still holding on to their clutter from that time. They're not using it, but they're refusing to let it go. Jenny, one of our Soul Space participants, kept boxes and boxes of stuff in her house that was filling up a whole room. It was all of the items that she had kept as a teacher. As a teacher, she collected things that she felt her students could use. And she had boxes and boxes of books and papers and art supplies that they could use. She kept holding on to them for so long that some of the items had now become obsolete. And it was taking up a lot of space in her house. When she explored Clutter Challenge 4, she connected with the fact that one of the main reasons why she was holding on was because she was very attached to her identity as a teacher. She was no longer teaching, and she hadn't replaced it with something new that she wanted to do. As she allowed herself to feel all of the emotions around her clutter, she was able to recognize that once a teacher, always a teacher, and that there were so many ways in which she contributed to other people because of her skill as a teacher, that there were ways that she could use her teaching skills right now in her life. And she was able to let her clutter go, and she was able to give some of the items to people who could really use them. And it freed her up. It gave her more energy. It opened up space in her life, and it created room in her environment. You see women who still insist on having the same hair that they had in their 20s and 30s in their 50s. So now they have gray hair that is long and in a ponytail. And they look like throwbacks from the 60s. And they also dress in the clothing. It's important to move into the present. All of the things that you hold on to from your past and that past identity is not allowing you to fully live in the present. And all the energy that you use up holding on to the past is not allowing you to create the relationships and have the experiences that you want to have in your present. Clutter challenge number 5 is incompletions. We addressed this when we did mental clutter. Look at the items that you put in the second category. This is the things that are incomplete that include incomplete communications and conversations that you're afraid to have. The emotions that often come up with this are guilt, anger, and sadness. When you use the four-step process, you might have to face the fact that you are never going to finish the project, and that maybe it really isn't that important to you, or you would have finished it. There are a lot of things that we have on our to-do list that we carry around that create a lot of stress for us. And it's important to get real with yourself and let it go. The book that you've been telling yourself that you're going to write because you see yourself becoming the next Marcy Shimoff or Wayne Dyer. Maybe you haven't written the book because you don't really have the drive or ambition to write the book, and maybe it isn't your destiny to become a national and international speaker and author. Maybe you are someone who is a wonderful person. You're a role model in your family, and you're really helping to develop children and grandchildren who are going to make a significant contribution in the world because they are happy and well-adjusted individuals. Maybe you're someone who's making a difference in your community and changing a lot of lives in your own circle. And that's okay. Just be happy with who you are and recognize what your gifts are and allow yourself to contribute them. Letting go of a dream that you've had about yourself, an item that you've been carrying on your to-do list forever, creates space for what's really important in your life right now. Terry, one of our Soul Space participants, had an expensive sewing machine that she kept in her living room for over a year. She had a dream of being a designer, a dress designer, and she just loved Project Runway and watched it every week. She bought herself an expensive sewing machine and started to have lessons. Soon, she was too busy to have them, and the sewing machine sat there and was never used, and her husband told her to get rid of it because it was cluttering up their living room, but she insisted that she was going to start them, and a year went by. When she used the four-step process, she had to admit to herself that she really wasn't going to do her sewing lessons, at least not now, and so she decided to let go. And she created space for the things that were really important to her right there and then. And she also let go of the fantasy that she had that was standing in the way of her real life. Being a designer was a fantasy. And she realized that she could indulge it by watching Project Runway. And she got a lot of pleasure out of it. She really didn't want to spend years learning how to sew. It was a lot easier to go shopping and just buy what she wanted. When you let go of your fantasies, then you're able to really live your real life. It frees up your energy, and it takes away all the mental and emotional burden that you've been carrying. You don't have to feel guilty or think about it anymore. As one of my coaches, an absolutely brilliant man called Breck Costin, used to say, your fantasies have to die in order for your dreams to come true. Challenge number 6 is other people's stuff. This is when you find yourself saying, I can't let it go. It belonged to my sister or my brother or my parents. Again, take the time to do the four-step process. Linda had a box of her sister's belongings. Her sister had died several years before, and Linda simply couldn't face looking at the box. She kept it in the garage, and she felt guilty about getting rid of it. But then her daughter came to live with her, and she brought her 2 children, and there simply wasn't enough room in the house. They needed space to put all of her daughter's things in the garage. And yet Linda had a large box of her sister's belongings. She had avoided it all of this time because she felt guilty about getting rid of it. But the truth is she didn't want it around. She didn't want to deal with the sad memories it triggered. Her sister had had a mental illness. She held on to the box because she felt that giving it away meant that She didn't love her sister. But the more she explored her feelings, the more she realized that she wanted to remember her sister when she was happy and well, and the box was full of stuff that she was afraid to look at. She began to allow herself to feel all of the emotions, the sadness, the guilt, the anger, the fear, and the shame that her sister's mental illness had caused. By acknowledging how having her sister's stuff made her feel now, in the present, she began to realize that she could open the box and go through the things. She realized that what she wanted to do was to remember the good times when her sister was happy and enjoying life, and that there had been good times between the two of them. She went through her things, and she found that there were items that brought back those good memories and made her feel really good. Photographs and clippings and all kinds of mementos and reminders of her sister and the life that they had had. She realized that the best way she could celebrate her sister's life was by putting out the things that reminded her of those good times and letting go of the rest. So she created a collage of pictures and items that celebrated her sister and celebrated their relationship. She was very artistic, and that was something that they had shared together. And she had stopped creating collages and other kinds of artistic things that they had done together. Confronting her feelings allowed herself to connect to her own gifts. And she created a beautiful collage that people remarked on and gave her an opportunity to share the memories that she loved about her sister. She brought her sister back into her life, and in the process, she created the space that she needed for her daughter and her grandchildren, and she also reclaimed her own creative gifts. Clutter challenge number 7, I need to keep it just in case. Do you ever find yourself saying, I need to keep it just in case, or what if I need it someday? Well, the emotions that come up around that one are fear and worry and anxiety. Use the 4 steps and ask yourself questions like, why do I need to keep stocking up? What am I afraid of? And as you explore your feelings, you might face the fact that you're afraid that you won't have what you need when you need it. You don't trust the universe to take care of you. You're afraid you won't be provided for. Allow yourself to look into the fear. What could happen? What's the worst case scenario? Have there been any other times in your life where you've had a major challenge and you received help? What about times in your life where you received help from friends or family, from strangers? You received help totally out of the blue, from the universe, from life itself. Can you allow yourself to recognize all the miracles that have gotten you where you are right now in your life? The times when you had absolutely no idea where you were going to get the money from, how on earth you were going to find a new job or a new apartment, and yet miraculously something happened and you got exactly what you needed. Recognize that you don't have to do everything by yourself, that there really is a force that is working for you, that you are part of this incredible energetic field that brings all kinds of opportunities, all kinds of gifts and blessings into your life. We've grown up in a culture where we pride ourselves on our independence and we buy into the illusion that we do everything by ourselves, but the truth is we don't do life by ourselves. We have gotten all kinds of help and support from the very moment we arrived on the planet. So take a leap of faith that you will be taken care of the next time too, and that in fact you've always been taken care of. And be willing to let go and share. Be willing to give to other people instead of holding on to things. Become a giver. Share your good and you will allow more good to come into your life. Challenge number 8. Giving or throwing it away is wasteful. How often do you say, oh, I don't want to waste it, it's still good? Well, the truth of the matter is it's no good to you if you're not using it. And a lot of the time the emotions we have around this one is guilt and shame. We say things like, I don't want to waste it, it's still good. A lot of things like clothes and shoes, electronics, workout items, things that we spent a whole lot of money on. It's really painful to have to admit that we wasted our money. And yet, when you apply the 4 steps, you have an opportunity to see that you're wasting the money right now. Because you aren't using the item and you won't allow anybody else to use it. Because you're more attached to your image of yourself as someone who doesn't waste things than to sharing your good with other people. So face the fact that you've already wasted it. You've spent the money. And now you're spending more time and energy on it and not using it. Face the fact that you've already wasted your money. You spent it. And you spent the time and energy on buying this thing, and you're not even using it. And now you're wasting even more energy and more time thinking about it and expending emotional energy on it. It is time to stop the cycle. Give it away to somebody who can use it. Allowing yourself to explore your feelings, allowing yourself to deal with the fact that you wasted the money, also opens the door for you to realize that you can make new choices now. Maybe instead of buying things impulsively, if you see something you like, you tell yourself that you will wait 24 hours and check in with yourself and see whether you really need this item, whether you really want it, and whether you will use it. By facing your feelings, you can also make new decisions about how you want to use your money and respect the money that you have. What items are you holding on to, and what emotions are connected with them? What emotional clutter are you holding on to without even realizing it? Where have you sacrificed yourself and your needs and wants? What limiting beliefs do you subconsciously have that are holding you back in life? In the week on mental clutter, we reviewed some of the main ways negative thinking manifests in our lives. You had an exercise to eliminate your tolerations. There were 2 types of tolerations, the things that were within your control that you could change and things that were outside your control that you couldn't change. And whenever we put up with a lot of tolerations in our lives, we are accepting an ongoing low level of stress, depleted energy, and we're also settling for less than we deserve. Our tolerations reflect unconscious decisions that we've made about what we deserve and how we have to live our lives. We abdicate our ability to choose and receive something different. How can the universe give you all of the gifts that it wants to give you when you keep telling yourself that you have to put up with certain things and you have to live in a certain way? So take a look at some of the items that you put in the column that said you can't change these items and you can't control them. And see if in fact there are choices that you can make. Allow yourself to really connect with your emotions around the thing that you're putting up with, and ask yourself why you're putting up with it. Maria had a group of friends that she went out to dinner with once a month. They had been doing this for years. They had all worked together at one time in their lives, and they had started this monthly dining club. Well, Maria no longer drank, and she didn't have any sugar, so she never had dessert. But a lot of her friends liked to drink. So when they would go out to dinner, they had a habit of insisting that everybody split the menu. And Maria put up with it because she was afraid to speak up. But the fact of the matter, she was angry and resentful because she would often find that she was paying a lot of money for food she didn't eat and alcohol that she didn't drink. And she also felt that her friends drank more because they knew that someone else was going to be splitting the tab. And there were two or three of them who fell in that category. After she went through the four-step process, Maria realized that she needed to have a conversation and express herself and tell people how she felt. So the next time they had dinner, she let them know ahead of time that she no longer wanted to split the bill, that she didn't drink and that she never had dessert, and so she would like to have a separate bill. When the other two people, who were also on similar diets, realized what she had done, they too asked for separate bills. When the bill came, their bills were pretty well cut in half, and the rest of the group, who typically ordered a couple of bottles of wine and dessert and appetizers, found that they had to foot the bill. It was a wake-up call for everybody. The next time they went out for dinner, she noticed that the others didn't drink so much. They only had one or two bottles of wine instead of the usual three or four. Some of them stopped ordering dessert. Maria smiled to herself, and she was proud of the fact that she had spoken up and that she was taking care of herself. Sometimes you have to risk a relationship and deal with things that feel uncomfortable. When you have a conversation where you express yourself and are authentic, it allows you to move forward. You pay an enormous price for stuffing your feelings. You don't have to be confrontational. You just have to let people know how you feel. Clearing out your emotional clutter can be a challenge. It takes willingness and it requires a conscious effort. You have to decide what really matters to you and what you want and deserve to have in your life and your relationships. Sometimes there'll be tears. Some days will be harder than others. But the outcome is more than worth it. The more you tackle these issues, the lighter you feel and the more energy is released in your body and your mind and your spirit. And you don't have to play the same old tapes over and over again. All of that mind chatter goes. You create space in your life. You feel better about yourself. When you're afraid and you're suppressing your emotions, it is exhausting. So empty the suitcase you've been dragging around, and you'll find that you'll feel much lighter and freer. What's holding you back from clearing your emotional clutter in your life? Start right now. If not now, when?